Hey there, Hal.
Hey, Jenny. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing pretty good on this Labor Day Monday.
It is Labor Day Monday.
September
4th. If you're listening, it is on or after September 6th. This is Season 5, Episode 32.
Yep, and here in the States, it is a holiday weekend.
It is Labor Day. I think, you know, most people look at it as a day off work and, you know, the last day of summer, not officially, but it feels like the last day of summer before
right.
School gets into full gear and everything. But, you know, we need to thank the labor unions for the fact that we have a minimum wage, that we have a 40-hour work week. Because yep. None of that. It's not regulated well, but none of that was regulated at all. But the labor unions fought for safer workplaces and, you know, slightly better wages and, you know, a 40-day work week and a 40-hour work week.
Yeah. And,
yeah, 40 hours. Not
40 days, that's a lot. Yeah.
So think about that today and think, you know, the union leaders and think about the people that are striking right now because of fair wages.
Yeah. So when you hear about, you know, the Actors Guild and the Writers Guild and Starbucks and Amazon and the news about unions and trying to unionize, like, pay attention because it's important. Like, you don't have to get involved if it's not part of you, but I feel like it's nice to understand what the argument is.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, unions are important. They keep businesses in check and workers protected. And I feel like they get a bad rap. And maybe there have been some bad ones.
I think that it's that a lot of, you know, like, the Teamsters, that's a union, but it's also been very much associated with the mafia.
Yes.
But it's not like that's not a. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're, you know, they've done a lot of good for the workforce.
Yeah.
And anyway, think about the labor unions today, because we would be in a worse place than we are if we didn't have them.
Yes.
Yeah. So another timely mention is that Jimmy Buffett passed away this week.
Yeah. And
I was just like, now that's sad. And then I really thought about it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the impact he's had on... It's not my genre. It's not my, you know, subculture. But so many people I know, like, they live for those shows.
Yeah. And we absolutely
impact on, you know, a certain age of people and just a lifestyle that, I mean, who doesn't know the words to Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Right.
And anyway,
or Margaritaville.
Right. You know, it took me, I don't know why, it took me a couple hours to really hit me what a loss he is to so many people.
Yeah, yeah, hugely.
But, yeah.
And I don't think, I'm doing the math, he wasn't that old.
No, he was
76.
Yeah.
And he's a Christmas baby.
I saw that. I think he had skin cancer.
I'm just seeing that he had a rare form. He died from a rare form of skin cancer.
Yeah, but it really is. So, you know, I don't know. I almost felt like most of his songs were like, I can't think of the word. My brain's not working tonight.
Cheesy.
Yeah, but they were
classics.
What's the word when they're like, it was really close in my head. like song, I can't think of the word, but songs like the Monster Mash and stuff like that, they're called
Universal? No.
Not jingle, but it's along those lines.
Catchy. But they like, yeah, there's something about them that just felt comfortable and fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, nothing could go wrong during a Jimmy Buffett song.
No. And, well, Jamaica Mistake.
Except for Jamaica Mistake.
Except for Bono's involvement in Jimmy Buffett world.
Yes, this is true.
It did not go well. If you don't know that story, back in, I think the late 90s,
maybe
96, 98, somewhere.
Try and look it up real quick. Yeah.
Bono was on Jimmy Buffett's plane with his wife and their two daughters, and Chris Blackwell, who owns Island Records. And they,
1996.
The army or something took the plane as a drug running plane, and they shot it up. And
yeah,
Bono said he really thought they were gonna die.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, scary. Yeah, I always thought his songs were kind of jingly, like. They
I hear that.
Yeah, I mean, they were novelty.
There's the word.
They felt like novelty songs.
Yes.
I have one exception to it, and that's Come Monday, which I just think feels like a folk song. Folk song. And I love that song, but it also talks about Labor Day. Come Monday.
Oh, yeah.
And he died Labor Day weekend. So that was kind of a fitting, you know.
For sure.
Yeah. But I don't know why that song is always, it's just a beautiful song. It's always been close to my heart, and it didn't have that novelty feeling.
So here's this popped up on the New York Times after I looked up the Jamaica Mistake. The headline is Jimmy Buffett was more than beaches and booze. And the subhead is there was wistfulness behind party tunes like Margaritaville. Buffett helped listeners feel like they'd earned the good times just by holding on.
That's really nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to read the rest of that article because I would like to understand that more.
Yeah, it's I've never I mean, most people I know, like, you know, every so many years make a pilgrimage to see Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah. Well, he used to come, like when I was in high school and stuff, and he came every, like, year or two. He was on tour.
All the time.
I might have gone once. Just wasn't my jam. I didn't get it.
Yeah, I've never been. I kind of regret it now. Just a little bit.
Be sure I saw him. Yeah.
Not that much.
Yeah.
Because it's not really my jam. Like, I've never been able to get into, I respect the genre, but I've never been able to get into, like, the Dead or Fish. And I feel like those people are similar minded.
Yeah. Well,
I guess going to a concert and getting really super high.
Yeah. Or wasted.
Yeah.
Well, to all you parrot heads out there, you're in our hearts.
Yep. Take care of yourselves.
Yep. Don't drink too many margaritas.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Jimmy would want you to.
No.
That's too many.
Don't eat too many cheeseburgers either.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the other sad news is that Steve Harwell, the lead singer of Smash Mouth, passed away today. And, you know, we saw them, I don't even know how many times.
I saw them exactly once.
Really? All those other shows were Third Eye Blind?
Fun Loving Criminals.
No, I mean, the I guess I'm talking about in the fall.
Oh, in the fall? Yeah, because I only saw a few.
Okay.
No. Wait, was only one was Third Eye Blind. Detroit was definitely Smash Mouth. Didn't I see them more than once?
Yeah, you saw him in Atlanta and San Antonio.
No, well, where was Third Eye Blind then?
See, I don't remember where Third Eye Blind played and where Smash Mouth played.
Third Eye Blind
Smash
was.
Mouth was in Detroit.
Smash Mouth was in Detroit. Third Eye Blind played in. Maybe San Antonio. That's where Ryan met his wife.
Okay.
We learned that when we talked to him.
That's right.
And I'm pretty sure that was the show after Michael Hutchins died that he. Yeah. I
Yeah.
think we talked about that show together
Yeah.
with Orion. If y'all didn't hear it, we talked with Orion Salazar, who was one of the original members of Third Eye Blind and played. So, well, then I completely repressed that I heard Smash Mouth again because I completely do not care for them.
No, it was, and they had that, what was it, Walking on the Sun?
Smash Mouth did.
Yeah. That was their song that year, and it was,
Wasn't the All Star song.
no, that was, I think that was a couple years later.
Okay.
But that song, I traveled a lot in 97, and even before Smash Mouth opened for U2, I swear to God, that summer, that's the only song anyone played.
Yeah.
That and Semi Charmed Light.
Yes.
Those two songs that, but I just remember, I so associate even the summer before, either of them played with
So
U2.
funny.
So associate those two songs with that summer.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking. They were in Atlanta. Third Eye Blind was in San Antonio. Because Third Eye Blind was going between U2 and the Rolling
That's
Stones.
right. That's right.
So they were playing like every other.
Can you, do you see where, who played in Seattle?
Let me look because I've got it up right here. Smash Mouth.
In Houston?
Please hold. Smash Mouth.
Okay. So I saw Smash Mouth like 5 times and then I saw them in 1998 when they toured with Third Eye Blind.
Oh.
Yeah. So I saw Smash Mouth. Not once did I see them intentionally.
Which is, I mean, so I said I've seen them exactly once, and it turns out it's exactly twice,
Yeah.
but apparently the once was enough because I don't even remember the second
I
time.
remember them. I remember them. I just remember that one song.
I would have lost money on that.
Yeah.
Oh, like probably my firstborn, I would have lost her in a
Okay.
bet on how many times I've seen Smash. So I feel like I would have gone to see Third Eye Blind in 98. I don't know. I don't know when I got to know them.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It was a really it was a small venue tour
Yeah.
because I saw them at this place we used to have here called the Boathouse. I think I saw Better Than Ezra there too.
Yeah. Well, depends when in 98, because I wasn't living in Cleveland yet till. Well, now I don't know why I'm like all engaged in Third Eye Blind's tour schedule now. Now I want to see. Oh, well, this is going to take us a really long time, and it's not actually that.
It was in a cold weather month. That's all I can tell you.
I just, this is like, what even is this? Concertarchives.com. I'm in 97. Third Eye Blind, Smash Mouth. Here you go. The Boathouse in Norfolk, Virginia. Oh, and there's the Rolling Stones. U2. Yeah, I don't know. Well, to all you Smash Mouth heads out there, what are Smash Mouth people called? Fans called?
I know.
I doubt it's Smash Mouth heads. Let's see. What are Smash Mouth fans called?
There probably aren't many of them.
Yeah, that's not coming up with anything.
Like, again, I didn't ever intentionally see them, and yet
Right.
saw them 6 times.
Well, may he rest in peace. And I guess I don't really have anything else to say.
Well, let's switch to you two.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So there has been updated news in the U2 Vegas world. And that is that, I mean, this is turning into a whole experience outside of the show. I mean, we knew there was going to be like a pop shop and like some VIP area, whatever. But now there's an exhibit called Zoo Station that I am so friggin' stoked to see. There's also like a, I don't call it a cinema, a little movie theater in there that has some like rotating stuff in it that's curated by The Edge. Some never before seen, although I do believe A Day in the Life of The Edge is in there,
That's
which
cool. That's
is one
fun.
of my favorite things that's ever happened, filmed by Bono. So Google that if you haven't seen that. But it's a Zoo TV exhibit, right? Like it's Rock to Baby. Like I'm so stoked.
Did it say that it was like an immersive experience? I feel like it did.
I don't know. Let's have a little look-see. You do not need tickets to go to the exhibit, I guess. You do need tickets to go to the movies. Whether that's a timed ticket or a paid ticket, I do not know. Okay, Zoo Station, a U2 UV experience in Vegas. A fan portal comprised of more than 12,000 square feet of interactive exhibit space across 2 floors of the Venetian. It will have a retrospective of Anton Corbin's photography and videos, a pop-up shop with exclusive merch, and a Zoo TV cinema, an intimate theater with films curated by The Edge, including rare and unreleased concert footage will screen daily. There's a lot more information on YouTube.com. I'm super stoked. Podcast that we've talked about doing and have not done yet is to talk about the U2 exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
Yeah.
that you and I were both a part of, and Garnet Tart, Amanda, obviously. So, I mean, as someone who has, had an intricate role in a U2 exhibit before, I'm very excited to see what they've done with this.
Yeah.
For sure.
Very exciting.
Yeah, they're really getting it done. And man, how much money to spend in that shop?
Right, that's going to be a problem.
It says a capsule collection of limited edition products made exclusively for the experience. Oof. It might also be the merch available. Wait, available throughout the run of the U2UV, oh, of the show. So it'll be available while the shows are going on. I'm stoked. I'm stoked. Can I switch from Vegas for a minute?
Yeah.
We talked about Adam last week and how he was talking about what the quote was like, the last time I worked on staying sober was yesterday or something. Very close to that. He has teamed up with artist Debbie Chapman to promote a mental health charity called Elephant in the Room. And I do believe that's what that article was helping to promote. So that's exciting.
Yeah.
I just love that he's so involved and free with talking about his experience and using his platform to help others.
Yeah, that's really...
It's a good man. He's a good man, that Adam Clayton.
Definitely. So I had a thought the other day that when you have too much time to think about nothing.
Right.
So remember on I&E and E&I that the stage was the north side and the south side?
Yeah.
I wonder if that lined up with the north side and the south side when we were in Dublin.
Oh.
For some reason, I have this weird sense of direction.
Yeah.
I live on a peninsula, so you can see the sunrise and the sunset. So I know where east is and where west is, and then from there you can easily figure out north and south.
Right.
So I usually just know. I have some weird instinct about where north and south is. I feel like it wasn't lined up.
So who was Edge north or south?
I don't remember. But like when you go, this is the problem with a venue. When you walk in, they might take you
we don't know exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. I wish that I'd taken out my phone and looked at the compass.
That's a really interesting question. Because in my mind, that catwalk was parallel to the Liffey.
See, I don't feel like it was.
But maybe it wasn't.
I think it went...
Was it in an angle?
It went...
Diagonal?
No, I think it went... Yeah, I think it went east and west, but I don't know that for sure.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if it went east and west, the Liffey flows east and west.
Right.
So it'll be parallel.
So, yes, you're right.
Parallel, yeah.
Yeah. So it didn't go north. It didn't go north and south.
No, but I figure if Edge was on the south side and Adam was on the north side, then the catwalk would mimic the Liffey and people would be on the north side or the south side of the city. Am I confusing things?
No, but I still think it didn't. I think it
didn't line up.
It doesn't line up like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a question.
It's a fun thought.
Yeah, we can ask that. We can ask Bono over whiskey and cake.
Yeah.
Remembers. Or if he can find out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just tell us who to call. Who do we have to call? What's his name?
Doug.
Doug. Does Doug know Phyllis?
Probably.
So, speaking of questions for Bono over whiskey and cake, we have a listener on Instagram who comments on some of our Instagram posts. Who has been asking some questions I thought I should share. Leona has asked, would he ever consider being a Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school, or choir director after stepping off the stage for good? I mean, why not?
I don't know why not.
She would also like to ask about the facial hair and some grooming tips, because we are correct. His facial hair is always the same.
Yeah.
She thinks he trims it daily or every other day. That is her unprofessional opinion. I feel like she had something else. Maybe.
I'm glad someone wonders that too. It's not just me.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of you two and Vegas, which I guess could just be any given moment at any given time.
Yeah.
I guess we don't know if the band is in Vegas, but crew has arrived.
Yes.
We've definitely seen some posts from people associated with the shows that happened traveling and or arrived in Vegas. So it's all happening.
All happening.
Oh my goodness. Been thinking a lot and really like trying to feel that this is right in my heart because my head knows that it's right. That for us, this is not a typical, this cannot be a typical U2 tour experience.
Yeah.
This has to be a Sphere experience and a Vegas experience that happens to be our favorite band.
Right.
And it's gonna be fucking crazy. There's no Finding Bono.
Nope.
There's no, I mean, I guess like, you know, there you could find a spot to wait for him, whatever. But like, I just feel like if we're at the front row of the rail, I just feel like we're gonna have a great time. But we do that all the time.
Right.
So, and like, we want to see the exhibit and we want to get some sleep. And we want to like have some drinks and eat good food and be together
Right.
as opposed to, and I've been thinking about this a lot like the last week, but like wrapping my heart around that it's not Bono centric.
Right.
So.
I mean, I think that we just have to get over that because there's no way. I mean, even if I mean, I would assume that they're not staying, they're there long enough. They're not staying in a hotel in Vegas. They're either, at a super fancy Airbnb,
Right.
a house or homes, or they're going to fly in and out of LA.
Right. And my guess is it's going to be a combination of both,
Yeah.
depending on the time between shows.
Right. But I
I mean,
highly.
they could still easily fly to and from LA.
Right. I highly doubt that they would stay in a hotel, but anyway around it, they're gonna. I mean, they can come in through the Venetian and never have to see anybody.
Right. I mean, there's celebs walking around that city all the time and no one sees them. Like, there are ways. Yeah.
So. I don't think there's going to be any,
Right.
say hi. I mean, I just think that that's not what this is, and it's not
No, yeah.
realistic. And I mean, I could be wrong. We've been super wrong before with stuff.
Right. But to not set any of those expectations. And then if it happens, it's like cherry on top.
Right.
But it's happens because it's meant to happen, not because we like destroyed ourselves for it.
Right. So, 6 years ago, I think yesterday, the day before yesterday, I'm not sure. Hold on, let me look. 6 years ago this week, we waited the longest.
In Detroit.
6 years ago yesterday, the absolute longest amount of time I have ever waited for the band to come out. I was 1,000% sure that Bono was coming out.
Thousand.
They set it up for him to come out. It was
Yeah.
a small group, a very small group of people.
Yes.
And I mean, we waited like
And we would think we should go, and then something would happen. Like, oh, we'll just keep saying. Yeah.
But we waited like 8 hours or something ridiculous like that. I mean, it was no joke. It was serious how long
Yeah.
we waited. And no one ever came out.
No.
And so, I mean, so you never know. I could be totally wrong. And Bono might be coming out, just to say hi. But
Right.
if he's not obligated, I mean, that's only if he wants to do it.
And he's been doing it so much.
Yeah, but there's, I mean, this in a lot of places is not avoidable.
Right.
You have to, you know, leave a hotel. You have to leave wherever you're staying and drive to the venue. This is all in one. And you don't, he doesn't have to come outside. His feet don't have to hit the ground.
Right. Literally.
Yeah. I mean, they still, you know, hit the carpet and the floor and everything, but they don't have to hit,
right,
you know, outside ground.
Right. But it literally may be like an elevator and a shuttle. Like, right.
Yeah. So. But you're, I mean, Vegas is designed for famous people to go and never see anybody.
Right. And not, so, I mean, just like the elite of the elite, the rich of the rich.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people have asked, you know, on different pages and, you know, where Bono would come out. And I feel like people have answered, but no one has any idea because it's not said. I mean, it's not
finished. Right. It's not finished. There's no. And I just feel like, I mean, it's amazed me how much he did around his New York shows.
Yeah.
I mean, more show than the rest of the tour, but still those New York shows like crazy.
Yeah.
And but I also feel like that was different than band support. Like that was really personal support. People right. showing up for him.
Yeah.
At those, that just felt really, really different and worth his time.
Yeah.
To do that. Like he was that thankful. And this is just, I mean, he had to save his voice for that too. But this, like, I don't know. It's just feels like if he comes out and says hi to people, I'll be happy for them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean,
if he comes out and we just, and waves at a big crowd, I'll be sad that we just waited that long for
right.
nothing. I don't need a big wave. A crowd wave.
Right, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, nothing's for certain. We don't know. I mean, I can't speculate on the set list or anything. We don't know. This is all new to us. Everyone. Yeah, it's
and
gonna
we can just walk around and hand out business cards.
We can do that. I need to check how many I have left.
Oh yeah, I wonder if we should order more.
I think I probably have enough, but
I should look too. Yeah. Maybe some. And if we want to get, do we need more stickers? Or do you have a bunch of stickers?
A bunch of stickers. I mean, not a ton, but I have. I'll bring them.
Enough. Yeah.
But I think we should make a garden tart laminate just for the three of us.
I forget where we left off. Adam? No. Then I said, speaking of you two and the sphere, but we weren't talking about you two or the sphere.
I think after Adam, I asked the question about North and South.
Oh, and then I did the questions over whiskey and cake.
Yeah.
Well, y'all, we just went like on a 20-minute tangent that I'm going to cut out of here. We're trying to remember.
It happens.
Where we just left off. And I think we were talking about whiskey and cake questions. Yeah. Maybe?
Leona.
With Leona. You were going to ask about the North and South.
Yeah.
In Dublin. You were talking about the exhibit. And that was a while ago. I cannot wait to see the Zoo Station exhibit. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be curious. Das Bottom of Whiskey and Cake, how much, I mean, I assume the band had massive input, but like, has he seen it yet?
Yeah.
In person? Or just mock-ups? And would he be willing to do an updated part two version of A Day in the Life of the Edge?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah. I think we need a sequel.
And he just needs his phone for that. You don't need that giant camera.
No. And, you know, how has BlackBerry Yoga evolved?
Right.
Because, I mean, I'm sure iPhone yoga is much more intense.
Apple Fitness.
Or maybe it's calmer.
I can't imagine having a BlackBerry would be calmer than having an iPhone.
Those things were stressful.
iPhone makes you calmer.
Yeah. Yes. Too many buttons on the BlackBerry.
Then you don't have to, then people don't have to see your green tux.
No.
I hate
no.
that.
No. Friggin' green tux.
I really, really don't like that.
I don't know why they anger me so much. Okay. Anything else?
That's all I have.
We are in the month of which the Sphere opens.
Yeah.
Which is bananas. Because not too long ago, it was still speculation. Not too long ago, we thought it wasn't actually going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're like, they're talking about it, but this ain't happening.
Mm-mm. Because construction was so...
Construction, fun. Yeah.
But I guess they poured a bunch of more money into it and...
Still can't get the fucking seating right.
No. I was telling Jenny before, I looked at pictures. That overhang is no joke. I mean, you see the stage in front of you, and then over your head is like a parking garage. There's no ceiling. You can't see the screen.
I feel like if you were just at a regular concert, you could avoid looking up. But you're going to see part of the screen behind the band.
Right.
And you're going to want to follow it. And then you're just going to be continually reminded that you can't see it.
Right.
And that your tickets suck.
So I also read a thing that only like a third of the seats or something have the Taptic feature.
Only a third?
Yeah, it's really a low number.
Huh.
I bet anything too that that's where the overhang is.
Yeah.
And what's the point of having that if you can't coordinate your seat with...
Right. I mean, I knew that I had heard that they all didn't have it. And I know some of the seats are removable, and I thought maybe that.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's just a third, that's weird. That's not a lot.
I think, like, the 400 section doesn't have it. And then the 100s are the removable seats.
Gotcha. So the 200 and 300s have it. And then there's GA, which...
Yeah.
You don't get it at all, I presume. Unless they somehow make the floor do something. Have you ever been in a 4D theater?
No.
I've only been in one, and it was crazy. It was a Disney, and it was weird. There were like things that came out from under the seat that were like, that was like, it was like an animal show. So it was like a tail of a dog like going by or something in there. Oh my God, it was crazy.
Yeah, that's.
But it was like scary.
I bet.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it was Ice Age. I think it was Ice Age themed. Like the cartoon.
Yeah.
But it was meant to be startling. It was crazy.
I've been to like 3D stuff where they like splash water on you.
Yeah.
But that's the most high tech.
Yeah. I guess that wasn't smell. I guess that's like the four, huh? Is the smell. I don't know. I'm super stoked.
Yeah. Well, they had, there was a ride at Busch Gardens that had 3D, and you were on a ride, but it didn't really move that much. I mean, it did move. It had a track.
Yeah.
I mean, it made you, like, one of the parts was you felt like you were looking down and falling down a tower, and obviously it wasn't happening.
Yeah, you weren't really, yeah.
But they splashed water on you, and there was fog and stuff. I don't usually like the smell of U2 concerts.
They kind of smell like people's armpits.
Certain shows more than others. Like, that's a story, I think, but when we were at St. Louis for E and I, this guy who was like 7 feet tall.
Oh my god, he was huge.
He had like a 7 feet wingspan. And he kept jumping up, so his armpit was right in my face. And it was disgusting.
He was disgusting.
Yeah.
That sucked for you.
That really sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started off being a really nice guy. He was young and he was there by himself.
Yeah. We really thought that he was going to be like a good ally, like a good concert buddy. Yeah. Yeah.
And then as soon as the show started, he started screaming
and jumping and, oh my God, so much.
It was unpleasant. And then Bono threw water at Jenny's new glasses.
Like, my spectacles! I was like, now I can't see because they're all wet. Oh, man.
Sandra and I were like, that's why we stopped wearing glasses 35 years ago.
I have contacts now.
Yeah. I have LASIK.
So, yeah, yeah. No more. Throw all the water you want at me.
You had this look on your face, like,
it's really sad.
It happened.
Oh my gosh. I had to wipe them off with my shirt. Oh my gosh. Well, I wonder if on that note we should say goodnight.
Definitely say goodnight.
Sounds good. Well, until next week.
Sure, we'll have updated news on Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Next
people
week.
Are teasing about it tonight, but there hasn't been anything, so
it's rolling in though.
Yeah, it'll be here.
This is a question that I guess we should ask ourselves and maybe our listeners too, but I mean, I don't think there's any way we can avoid spoilers before our show.
I think it would be too hard.
Yeah.
I'd have to be offline.
Entirely. And yeah. Not only that, but we know at least partially what to expect from, a little bit, we know what to expect from the set list because it's Octung Baby.
Right.
And then we also need, you know, some education on GA and everything. So we need to read stuff. But do you listeners want to hear what we hear, or do you not want to hear what we hear?
Yeah, like, do you care if we share spoilers? Or do we just alert you and say, go ahead, 5 minutes? I don't know. Yeah.
Let us know.
Now let us know, and
definitely getting spoilers after October 21st.
Yes, from our shows for sure. But also, like, I feel like I want to try hard not to listen to anything.
I don't want to either.
I don't want to hear any versions of stuff. I'm already freaked. Oh, we didn't mention that Gavin Friday has started teasing stuff. And apparently his monthly show on U2X Radio is going to become more frequent. And he's going to be doing updates from Vegas.
I thought I read that they took his show off.
He was just on the other day.
Maybe.
And said that the new version of So Cruel is going to blow our minds. Maybe they are taking it off, and this was the beginning of that. But I just feel like there's no way to understand what these shows are going to sound and feel like till you're in the...
Yeah.
So even if you know what the set list is, like, who cares?
Right.
I don't know.
I mean, we probably shouldn't talk about other people's experiences.
Right.
Because I thought about maybe asking someone who's going to the first shows.
Right.
But I thought about asking one of our friends if they wanted to come on and talk about it. But I don't want to know.
I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know. I don't want to know that many details.
No. I'll take what shows up online.
Yeah.
This and that, but.
And I mean, I'm gonna be tuning in to see what the set list is in real time.
Yes.
The only tour I've really managed to entirely do that for was INE. Because I didn't go to the first show.
Yeah, I remember starting and then I fell asleep. Or something. I don't know if I can stay through the whole opening show.
No, you're right. I probably
awake.
I probably can't do that either. I hope I stay awake when I'm out there.
Right.
That's an expensive nap.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I want to know what, you know, the first thing, if I don't stay up, the first thing when I open my eyes, that's what I'm going to
look for, the set list. Yeah.
For the
set. And I want to try and, I don't think I mind pictures, but I don't want to see video or hear sound.
Yeah.
Audio. But people are going to have their phones. They're going to be posting stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be like streams you can watch. And I'm going to definitely try and stay away from those.
Yeah.
But not details.
Yeah.
Okay. If y'all don't want to hear spoilers before our shows towards the end of October, let us know. But most likely we'll just be giving disclaimers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Maybe
get people to sign waivers or something.
Right? Because I'm sure like one person will respond to your inquiry.
Right.
There are more of you listening than that, y'all. Plenty of you listening. You're allowed to respond to things.
Also, if you think about it, and we should mention this every up, but if you think about it and you think of a question you might want to, if you're not going to Las Vegas and you think you might want to know about it, let us know and we'll answer them after.
Guess what? We have surpassed 30,000 plays.
Oh my gosh.
Our episodes have been played over 30,000 times. That's awesome, y'all.
Yeah.
And our top 10 eps are almost all Tart Talks. That's cool, too.
Yeah. If you haven't reached out to us, please do. Let us know where you're from, how you heard about us.
Yep.
We're on all the social medias.
Someone in the Philippines is making their way through all our apps.
Thank you, whoever you are.
I know this for sure. Well, I will tell you that the majority of them listen on Apple Podcasts. Are between the ages of 45 and 59 and identify as male.
Interesting.
64% male, 35% female. And almost everyone that we do hear from are female. Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
So you dudes, there are a few out there. You know who you are. But y'all reach out.
That's fascinating information.
Yeah. Just happen to be looking at our stats. Okay. Well, on that note.
It's definitely bedtime.
Yeah, definitely bedtime. Well, good night, y'all, and we will chat at you next week.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Okay, bye.